Next item on the agenda is public hearing, proposed amendments, Regulation 4, VAC 490-10, pertaining to sharks. Mr. Grist.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Last month, we came before you with a request for public hearing on this item. And at that time, I informed you that Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, Spiny Dogfish and Coastal Sharks Board had approved Addendum 3 to their Interstate Fishery Management Plan for spiny dogfish. The addendum divided the southern region quota, which runs from New York to North Carolina, or what represents 42% of the coastwide quota, by state. Virginia received 10.795% of the annual coastwide quota for the fishing season that began May 1st of this year and runs through April 30th of 2012. Also mentioned at the time there had been an adjustment made after that announcement on the 27th of April. The Management Board issued a preliminary region state quotas, and it was for an adjustment due to overages from the previous fishing season. So the original amount that Virginia had been allocated was going to be 2,159,000 pounds, but due to the overages for the coastwide, it would be dropped a little bit down, 2,148,224 pounds. Staff also, during the period during May, met with the Spiny Dogfish Subcommittee. It's an industry committee made of harvesters and buyers to talk about what are we going to go from here now that we're going to a state quota. And you'll remember we discussed various items that we advertised. One, to establish the quota for the fishing season, which I just described. One, to clarify at the point of landing, no more than 3,000 pounds of spiny dogfish per vessel per day may be offloaded for commercial purposes. Requiring a weekly buyer's report of the landings by each of the from the buyers for each of the registered commercial fishermen who have the limited entry permit, and have the buyers do so until we reach 80% of that quota, at which time they would do a daily reporting to staff. In return, the staff would develop a online report for the buyers to also track the landings in reverse, so they can kind of see when we're getting close to catching the quota. They don't get caught off guard when we have to get to the point of actually closing. We also wanted to establish a control date of April 30th, 2011 to serve as a basis for any future development of spiny dogfish regulations. Basically, if we wanted to have a discussion about limited entry changes or some other aspect of changes to the management plan, that would be the control date we would work from. And also, finally, it was recommended that we classify any smooth dogfish or unidentified dogfish harvested reported during the months of November through February 2006 through 2008 as spiny dogfish when determining the eligibility for spiny dogfish limited entry permit. This has to do with issues that have come before this commission before with some reporting that was a little inaccurate, or they had put down unidentified dogfish based on the vernacular of the commercial fishery, not thinking to put down specifically spiny dogfish. But the industry made a good point that during that time of year, November to February, is predominantly a spiny dogfish what you're catching, not a smooth dog. So we had that provision added in and put that up for public hearing. You'll also notice in your evaluation one other thing. It's a new committee recommendation that has come forward. They're on page 3 and 4 of your evaluation as a result of that. The agency itself now has what's known as a Regulatory Review Committee, RRC. It's a committee comprised of members from both the Fisheries Division, Habitat Division, and Law Enforcement, Virginia Marine Police. They are reviewing the regulatory changes that we're proposing, looking at the language and looking for any issues that may come up from their perspective. And it's been a very good process this last month. The committee came back up with a few additional non-substantive changes to be made, just in some wording, which we included in the evaluation. Again, it's on page 3 and 4, and it's included in the actual attached regulation also. To date, staff has not received any public comment on this item. We did advertise this in accordance with 282-209 of the Code of Virginia for a public hearing today. And unless there are some questions, that's all I have for you.
Questions of Mr. Grist? Mr. Robbins?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question about the control date issue, and just wanted to get a sense, Joe, and perhaps either from you or the chair of FMAC, about the direction of the control date, because back when we had a very high-volume fishery in the 90s, we had 60 million pounds of coastwide landings, and we had about 30 to 40 boats that were active in Virginia.
Okay.
And now it seems like we've gone through this limited entry process, and we have about 100 permits, give or take. So just curious, you know, with a long-term quota outlook in the 20 million pound range or low 20 million pound range, is that control date going to put the state in a position to match up the permits with the yield in that fishery better?
That is one of the directions. As we noted in the evaluation, the committee, subcommittee and staff looked at the recent activity of the actually the limited entry permittees in the most recent time since we've had it in effect since 2009. And we are noting quite a few permit holders that were not utilizing the permit at all. That also helped lead to the recommendation of the little small change to the qualifications for limited entry permit having to do with the November through February time period. So it looked at April 30th, 2011, just as be the control date to look at the current limited entry permittees. That section you're probably looking for is at the bottom of page 2, last paragraph. But the look at the current permittees at that point, if we deem in the future we need to do something else or do something more further with what's in there. The other change only adds at the most 5, but this would actually allow, if it was deemed necessary, to reduce from there back down. There was quite a bit of individuals who haven't done a thing with that permit and have not reported any harvest.
Further questions? Thank you, John.
Sir.
This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir. Forward, please. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello. My name is John Forrest. I'd like you all to look at this picture. I've been a commercial fisherman in Virginia since 1965. Every single year I have had landings, production, crabbing, fishing. This spiny dogfish thing has really caused me problems recently. I've got an ocean rockfish permit, and I've had it since they were came into. I've had a rockfish permit since you started the new thing years ago. I never bought my permit or anything. In 2006 and 2007, when the dogfish fishery reopened, I couldn't sell the dogfish I was catching. That picture, that was in the Virginia Beach Beacon under an article describing how dangerous Rudienda was, and that's me and my boat coming through Rudienda on that day when I was rock fishing. The only buyer in Virginia Beach for dogfish in that time was Spots Seafood in Winhaven. And he wouldn't buy them from me because he said he had enough boats. He could fill up one tractor trailer a day, so he didn't need any more dogfish. So I worked and worked on him, and I finally, in 2008, in early 2008, I talked him into buying dogfish from me. He agreed only if I'd sell him my rockfish, which I did. I've been selling to Georgia Seafood in Norfolk for many years, and so I had to cut Georgia Seafood off, and he got mad at me. So I started dog fishing. I've been catching dogfish for as long as I've been rock fishing in the ocean. Never had anybody to sell them to, so I threw them away. I caught lots of dogfish. And the rock fishery has changed. It was so bad with the dogfish, if you had a net 7 inches or smaller, you'd catch so many dogfish you couldn't work the net. So by 2004, I swore I'd never use a net that small again. But the way the laws are changing on fish, you can't use the large nets anymore. You have to use a net less than 7 inches because of all the other restrictions on the harbor porpoises and the dolphins and the turtles and the whales and stuff. Although I've never caught any of those things. In 2008, I started dog fishing. This was before this new dogfish limited entry permit came into force. And the water was warmer. I'd been catching lots of dogfish in 2007, 2006, but in 2008 it was much warmer, so the dogfish didn't show up till later. I was only working one net because I caught so many dogfish in the previous years. If I had two nets out, I never would have finished picking dogfish out. So I only caught about 5,000 pounds of dogfish before Thanksgiving in 2008. The day after Thanksgiving 2008, my father fell and broke his hip. He was 90 years old. I had to put him in the hospital and take care of him for the next 3 weeks until he died. I had to quit fishing. I couldn't fish because every night I spent the entire night at the hospital because my father, they would put him in restraints so he wouldn't fight with the nurses and all because he was in a lot of discomfort with all the medication he was on. So as long as a family member was there, he could be left unrestrained and he was fine. So it was impossible for me to fish then. So after he died, there were only 3 days left in the dog fishing season anyway. Because that was December 17th. I think the fish were closed on the 20th or 21st. Well, I hadn't caught my rockfish yet, so I didn't put a dogfish net out. I put a rockfish net out. I didn't see what to catch them. And I really wasn't. You know, a friend of mine told me there's only 3 days left. There's no reason to go dogfishing anyway. So I did. When I caught my rockfish up, that was it. I didn't fish anymore. 2008. I had to take care of my father's funeral and the estate and everything. So in 2009, I went down to spots by November 1st or 2nd to find out when the truck came to pick up the dogfish. I didn't, you know, it's bad luck and circumstances, but everybody assumed that I qualified for this permit, so nobody bothered to tell me. So I didn't protest the public hearing because I didn't even know what was going on about the way this was going to be set up. So I didn't find out about that. I didn't have a dogfish permit until I tried to sell some. I didn't even know. Because if you don't qualify, you don't get a letter saying you don't qualify. Only the people who do qualify get a letter. So I borrowed a permit so I could go fishing in 2009. I was told by people here, because I didn't know to protest it. I didn't. So you didn't have any. There was never any hardship exemption for this. So I was told that at the next public hearing, which was the one in November of 2009, that I would be able to ask for some kind of hardship exemption, or somebody would come up with a way for me to qualify for this fishery. I was told by, I can't remember who it was, but somebody working here at the BMRC, and also people that I know that are on that fisheries committee. When I came to that meeting, what happened at the meeting was I had the opportunity to buy a permit during that three-week period before the meeting. And there were permits for sale. The price range was $2,000 to $3,000. But everybody told me I was going to get one, so there was no reason to buy one. So I didn't buy one. So I came to that meeting here at the commission, and the first thing was they established that no more permits could be transferred from that day forward. But then I was told after that by more people I talked to that the dogfish regulation, there were too many people in it. There's people who have permits who don't have a boat, don't have any nets, that are just decking. They've never gone dogfishing on a boat. So then when the new regulation came out, it was like impossible. It's just impossible to buy a permit now the way it's set up. I fish in the ocean for striped bass. I catch dogfish, incidental bass. It seems to me, I mean, I know these people that are going to get this accommodation because they misreported their landings, and I don't oppose that. I need some way to get one of these permits. I'd like to buy one, or I'd rather have y'all just issue me one. I caught 5,000 pounds by myself, and the way you set it up is the regulation discriminates against a one-man boat operation. That 20-foot sea ox, it's small, but I can catch my entire annual rockfish quota in two trips. It's rockfishing that time of year. It's extremely rough out there in the ocean in the wintertime, and you only catch rockfish when the weather is bad. I mean, that's been my experience. It has to be blowing 30 miles an hour to the northeast to get them to move. That's as big a boat as I can handle by myself in rough weather. I know people who were dog fishing last winter who didn't go. Because it got so cold so fast, the dogfish moved way offshore. They had to go 15 to 20 miles offshore to catch the dogfish. They didn't go because diesel fuel at $4 a gallon, they're burning 100 gallons a day. you can't spend $400 on fuel in order to catch $600 worth of fish. I think when diesel fuel is $10 a gallon, the number of people not dog fishing is going to be more than it is now. I don't see how those big boats can make a profit. But the problem is, there's people that I know that have dogfish permit that are fishing in the ocean and are catching rockfish, but they don't have a rockfish permit, so they're killing the rockfish and throwing them over. And I'm in this situation where I'm catching the rockfish and catching the dogfish and killing the dogfish and throwing them over. It seems to me that if I could buy one of the permits from the people that are just catching dogfish, it would eliminate one of those people, and I'm not going to be catching any more dogfish anyway than it would be. I'm catching them now anyway, I just throw them all away. And the control date, I mean, there's not that many ocean rockfish permits. I think it's like 35. Most of those people probably have a dogfish permit anyway. But if you could allow just that group of people to purchase dogfish permits from other people who want to sell them, it seems to me like that's a reasonable accommodation.
Thank you. Any comment, Jack?
To this situation, sure. The commission has been dealing with this issue for well over a year. We instituted a permit system to begin to limit entry in this fishery because the quotas are small. It can only accommodate so many people in the fishery. After the permit was instituted, the next situation we found ourselves in where there were too many people qualified for the permit, and people who qualified, although they themselves were not making use of the permits, they were transferring them to others who would, so you were adding more effort into the fishery. That's when we came back to you at the request of the advisory committee, and you stopped transfers so that you would not add more effort into the fishery. So I think all along the way, you have taken a series of steps to control the amount of effort in this fishery. Now Virginia, instead of working on a regional quota, we have a small quota of our own, which is a further indication that we can't have, you know, a fishery with 100 plus people in it. And that's why the committee has now come back and asked for a control date. Now, control date doesn't do anything except put people on notice that there may be future entry limitations. And what the committee was thinking is, right now we have about 100 permits in the fishery, 30 to 40 of them are active. And if that's the way it stays, then we don't have to do anything further. But next year, the year after that, if we see these 50 or 60 permits become active, such that we now have 80 or 90 people active in the fishery, we may have to activate that control date and move people out of the fishery. You know, I'm sympathetic to John's situation, clearly, but if the commission is going to be consistent with its prior actions in trying to control effort in the fishery, you know, there's really nothing you can do for John. I mean, you'd literally have to amend the regulation back to its former situation to accommodate him, and in accommodating him, you're going to accommodate dozens of other people by letting them in the fishery. You know, nothing, you know, if you want to be consistent with your prior actions, you adopt the control.
Do you have any option
that staff has requested?
John, I appreciate it, but I believe from a consistency perspective, we are.
Can I make one more?
In 2007, day after Christmas, I lost my two rockfish nets that I was fishing out there. I don't know for sure why they were lost, but my friend who was out there too, he didn't lose any of his, so we're pretty sure a trawler took them out. So I had to go fishing with him because there was no way in that length of time I was going to be able to get nets to go fishing to catch my rockfish at the end of the year. So I was on his boat for I was on his boat for 5 days, but we didn't use any of my rockfish the first day. He still had his rockfish tags. We caught his up first before we started on mine. But during the 4 days he reported me being on his boat, we caught 7,000 pounds of dogfish. So the actual, what my aggregate total would be is 12,000 pounds, but it's not in 1 year. It's actually less than a 12-month period, but it's still not one calendar year.
Question,
Mr. Tankard.
John, right?
Yes.
It's my understanding that you still have the availability to buy a license for these. Is that correct?
No. It cannot be transferred. Is that right?
Cannot be transferred.
I mean, the last regulation I read, if somebody can show a medical reason why they can't go fishing, they could transfer it, or they could transfer it to an immediate family member, or if they're on active military duty. I think that's what the regulation is.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to suggest that looking forward, if the commission ever acts on that control date so that the pool of eligible licenses is limited to the active license pool, which matches up with roughly what the historical fishery was at one point in time, then we would be in a position to review the question of license transferability or permit transferability. And if we had an appropriate level of control over the number of licenses, then transferability may not be a problem at all. But until we get to that point, it still represents an activation of latent effort. So I think that's kind of the dilemma we're in too. But if the commission acts on that in the future, then the situation with respect to transferability could change.
I have one question for staff on this, and that is, if you were to look at the numbers of people not actively using their permit, could you age out those permits without a transfer over a certain period of time? In other words, if you haven't been active and you can show you're inactive for a period of 5 years or 10 years, then you can transfer your permit and then phase out those permits in order to reduce down to the 40, 50 you wanted. Is there a way to go about that?
Well, if you're asking to take a permit that's been inactive and say for a time period, and then if it's been inactive, allow transferability, then you're actually adding effort because it's a one in, one out type of situation, but the one getting out hasn't done anything. The one getting in is intent on doing something.
Right. You're adding folks in, and I'm just wondering if it could be trying to think of some way to demonstrate if you haven't used the permit in such a period of time and it hasn't lapsed for whatever reason, and you can transfer it to someone who currently wants in, particularly in an instance where you have an active fisherman. I understand you're adding effort to the pool, but then you could have a phase out or a limitation, I guess, is what we'd have to do on those that are
the other thing that lends to, unfortunately, if you have such a plan, say if you don't use it in so many years, it's going to be phased out, it typically lends to false reporting. And unless you can catch it in an audit as to whether what is and what is not false reporting, all you got to do is just put down, I did dogfish the other day with gill nets, and you're covered. You've done taking care of that little problem. One of the reasons control dates get set previous to a meeting is often because if you set it in advance, let's say we're going to set a control date of next January, I can guarantee you we're going to have all sorts of reporting coming in here from people I haven't seen in 5 years. And that's an unfortunate thing. It's unfair. You know, it's unfortunate to those who are prosecuting this fishery directly themselves, but it does happen.
It seems like a particularly bad situation when you have a man throwing dead fish overboard. We can't.
Oh, we definitely understand where John's coming from. So.
Thank you, John. There you go. Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Joe Kelly, Chincoteague, Virginia.
Hey, Joe.
Full-time fisherman. Thank you for listening to me. It's
pleasure.
I got a little cheat sheet with me because I'm not a very good public speaker. But anyway, I feel that the state's management plan on dogfish is seriously flawed. Create a list of eligible permittees based on 2 years of landings when the coastwide quotas were so low during that time. You know, sometimes it didn't last but a couple weeks or whatever. I think it's the wrong thing to do. I think it was very extreme. We're talking about horned dogs here, trash of the ocean. Everyone agrees that there's too many of them. Micromanage a fishery to the extent where probably half of the names on the permit list do not own a boat or the gear is wrong. That I, as a full-time commercial fisherman with a commercial operation and a crew, cannot keep one horned dog, in some cases throwing hundreds or thousands of pounds overboard while netting monkfish, is wrong. The future quota the state receives could possibly be based on either our ability or our inability to land the species because of the eligibility requirements could hinder our state's landings and future quota. What signal are we sending the feds of the overabundance of the species if it takes Virginia all season to land its quota? Another thing I think we should look at is how are the other states managing their fishery? I don't think they're this extreme. I think it's pretty much wide open. I feel that if you have a commercial card, a gillnet license, you should be able to land them. If we're not going to expand the permit list and include more fishermen, at the very least, I feel that the folks with inactive permits should be able to assign an agent to land their share. I think one of the things is that we're looking at, back in the 90s, we had many vessels were landing 60, 80, 100 boxes a trip. I think with this 30 box limit, it would help keep the confines of the fishery to a limited nature, regardless of how many boats are in it. I know that myself, November, December, when it's blowing 35 northwest, if I can go out there and catch 30 boxes of dogfish to keep my crew going and to keep my bills paid, that looks a heck of a lot better than going 30 or 40 miles offshore to pursue another fishery. And I just feel that in some instances, maybe as far as, you know, the agent provision, I think that would be a good thing. And it would help a couple of fishermen like myself. I don't think there's too many fishermen in my position that can't fish for them, but I've never been able to. I don't have rockfish tags. I basically fished offshore. But, you know, during that time of year, I still need to provide. And what's really sad is when I go offshore and fish the monk nets and I got to throw 15 boxes or 20 boxes of horned dogs over and they're all tearing my nets up and everything, you know, that's pretty sad, you know, and especially when I got to put a lot more fuel in the boat to do it. I just feel that, you know, there is some things that should be decided when, as far as the future management measures to help fishermen like myself. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Hey, J.C.
Commissioner, Lloyd Mumbles, J.C. West, commercial fisherman, a long time. The main reason I'm here today is because I need to make this report out right. I think I told you all that. Last time we had this. And I don't do my reporting. I'm going to blame it on my wife. But anyway, just because we didn't put spiny dove. And me and Ryan packed spiny dove fish since 90, well, I bought my boat at 96 foot to go in the ocean. All I've seen on these 2,000 pound cottons is dog fish. That's all it wrote on. And once you fill my report out, that's all they put on it was dog fish. So I didn't know no other thing to do. If y'all can, I don't know. I just don't, I done exactly what they done. And I couldn't get my permit. And a couple more. And I know we got about 100 permits out there, but I feel like what fish last year is about all that's going to do it, because some of these boys has got permits. Like I say, I had people tell me that they got permits and they didn't know what they had. They did not know what they had in their pocket. And that's the honest truth. How many of y'all? I'm going to say, you know, just guessing myself, probably went over 30 boats. I thought it was, you know, one a fair deal where I got me and a few more other boys and why they took that like that. But anyway, I just felt like I deserved my permit. And I didn't speak on it. I've been doing this for
47
years.
Thanks, JC. Anyone else wish to be heard?
Mr.
Bowen? Good afternoon, sir.
I've done the same thing Mr. West done. I participated in this fishery and I forgot to write the report out. It was my mistake. I just forgot to write the ass on the report when I say it. People make mistakes, and hey, I'm grateful doing that. So I'd appreciate it if I could get my permit. I really would. All right?
Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Bowden?
I'll start things off, and this is going to be a fun last meeting, it looks like. The sad thing is we all do know it's a lot of dog fish. There's no doubt about it. Will the quota ever be large? No. The environmental community is going to see to it that it's going to be very, very insignificant compared to what it used to be. I'm on that special committee, and one thing I added was if you work 60 days a year, you'll do it for, you know, 2 years in a row. Even if you only caught one pound, you got a permit. So we tried to make it liberal as we could. We tried to make anybody who caught dogfish during that period of time eligible. So even if you didn't catch the full amount, as long as you worked a significant amount of gear that year and caught some, you got a permit. Now, Mr. West has certainly got a legitimate claim. When I sell my stuff, they put on the ticket SG for spotted dogfish. But also, when I catch smooth dogfish, they put SG for smooth dogfish. I mean, SD. So when you get your ticket from the buyer, both of them's going to say, SD, and in my case, yours just says dogfish. So when they came to the committee, there was some thought about including October in it. And the committee felt, and the staff agreed with us, that October probably wasn't a good time to include because there was a fair chance that you were going to encounter smooth dogfish. We knew November through January or February you were not going to. They were going to be spotted dogfish. I won't say you wouldn't catch an occasional smooth dogfish, but it would be no amount. So, you know, we looked at that and, you know, we agreed these people deserve a permit and they should get in. On this whole limited entry system, it's going to be winners and losers. This year I noted that the monkfishermen had a tough year. They didn't do much. Last year they had a very good year. And I heard people grumbling that didn't have monkfish permits. They wanted one because they were making so much money. So no matter what fishery you're in, if you're not doing much and somebody else is doing better in a limited fishery, you would like to be in it. I certainly wouldn't be in his fishery coming in an inlet the way it looked behind that little boat. I will say that he needs to be in Alaska working on crab boat. I think, you know, we've tried to be fair, and the sad thing is we got so many people that have permits, and we all know they don't deserve them. We have people that don't have boats, and people on the committee knew different ones. I mean, I knew the one Shinkatig that really shouldn't, and when you got Virginia Beach, the boys, their news people that shouldn't have them and stuff, but they qualify, and it was going to be hard to do anything about it. With 102 people and the quota we have, if everybody went, the season lasts 7 days or less. So it would be no season. It would be almost impossible for VMRC to even control something like that with 102 applicants, and now maybe 107. You know, and I really feel for everybody. And if you caught dogfish 5,000 pound that year, do you meet the 60-day criteria? If you say you're a fisherman all the time, if you meet that, you would be in.
Not at this point.
Please. Not at this point. But I mean, that's something you can bring in. You know, at any time you prove that you were eligible during that time period, it'd be something I believe the commission would look into if you could prove it. I'll not be here. This is my last meeting. But I'm sure Mr. Palmer will take my place. He certainly seems like an open-minded person. So if you can document that you had 60 days and 2 years in a row and landings, well, this is not the time. I'm just offering this as a suggestion to you on a personal note. You know, that's something you might be able to pursue in that. I wish we could have a lot larger quota. It's no problem catching them. This year it was because things got so cold so quick, everything was way offshore. And it took a long time to catch it, but ordinarily it's not that way. I really wish we had a fishery that we could let everybody in, but it's just something that can't be controlled with the small amount of quota. 2 million pounds sounds like a lot, but when you take it into context of 102 people, you're talking 7 days. So, you know, I wish I could help y'all, I really do, but I just don't see any way. If you make allowance for one person, it's probably going to be another 10 or 15 that fit in that same situation. And you can't very well give it to one and not give it to the other 10 or 15. In the case of the misreporting, we are letting everybody that misreport in. We also said that we're not going to accept anything. People, oh, wait a minute. I did catch them, but I forgot to report. Here's my stuff. This was old data that's several years old. It can't be changed. So we were looking at something that couldn't be doctored. It was something to, and we have no chair of the committee, so I don't chair the committee. I guess if anybody did, I would say it'd be Joe or Jack. I think everybody felt strongly that we all wanted to let people in, but we had to do it at a time when there was more quota. And if there's more quota, and along with Mr. Robbins' suggestion a little while ago, if you get down to the point that you do exercise control date, and you have 40 fishermen, for example, at that time you could probably allow permit transfers because you wouldn't be adding effort. You would just be shifting effort from one individual to another. But until that time, anything you do will be adding effort. And it's just something that, you know, we're going to be responsible for any overages now. It's going to come off us directly. And if you would have quite a few people participate, you're talking several hundred thousand pounds a day, and if it happens to turn good on the weekend when staff is out, they come back Monday, decide to close it, call and close it Tuesday, well, you know, 1 million pounds could have been caught during that period of time, and then you're out of luck. So, and that's really what I have to say. I really wish we could let the people in, and if you can, you know, you may be in a position you could document something. Outside of that, you know, at the committee, everybody was welcome to come, and everybody that came got to speak. I think anybody that was there would say they did. So I think, you know, we're not in a position to allow a lot more people into the fishery until the quota increases, and hopefully it will, because there are blue channel catfish in the ocean. We got spawning blue dogs. I guess we'll have that call in, but that's the equivalent of what they're having trouble in the rivers. They're eating everything in the ocean. So along those lines, that you know, just
to
add that in there.
Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to J.C. West's case, and we've heard from J.C. before, but
I agree that it's pretty clear to me if he delivered dogfish in November and December in those volumes, those were pretty clearly spiny dogfish and are appropriately reclassified. I have a question, though, for staff, and I just want to make sure I understand. So if we modify the criteria such that an additional 5 harvesters come into the limited entry fishery, and we simultaneously are passing a control date of April 30, 2011, what would be the relationship with those 5 additional permittees to the control date? Can we, going forward, could we craft an exemption for them or treat them differently than the rest of the pool?
That would have qualified 2008.
One thing with the control data is you can also redefine the permit. You can redefine the criteria and use the control date for such. So even though they're coming in after the control date for this particular situation, they clearly would have history prior during the time period, and that could be used also. Nothing locks you in that the current permit criteria now has to be the criteria in the future. Does that answer your question?
It does. So there are different ways to go about using the control date to further circumscribe the pool.
I think we have unlimited options on the use of that control date at this time.
Thank you.
Further questions? Chair will entertain a motion.
I do have a comment, not a motion, if I could.
Mr. Plumlee?
I'm still a little, you know, trying to get my legs under me on some of those. And I'm a little confused by the fact that we have 102 permits susceptible to use, so we're counting on the fact that they're not used in order to manage our fishery, which doesn't appear to be an equitable way, just standing outside and looking in as a way to handle it, as opposed to saying, okay, transfer them all you like, you're going to reap the benefits of everybody overusing, and that means there are going to be quotas that are severe. And possibly even reducing the number of permits by expiration of some method. And in that regard, at least have the possibility of those transfers going to people who are out there in the fishery now, you know, with the bycatch situation that we've got. And having some possible way to account for those fish and those fishermen instead of...
In an effort to shock the system into equilibrium?
Well, right. Instead of just counting on the fact that we're going to have 60 permittees not using. I mean, that just seems odd to me. I'm not sure there's an easy...
Mr. Grist on the edge of his seat. Mr. Grist.
How to word this correctly. We have a quota to monitor. We have the permittees. We're putting in place now for the state monitoring system. The effort we have there now, whether or not all 102 participate or not, is enough to eat that quota up. Clearly. And probably maybe too much effort at that point, bearing with from some discussions from this very own body in the last year and a half. I understand where you're trying to go. And it might be best, though, as we are setting a control date as a recommendation, to let's get this year with the state quota under our belt. We've been dealing with this now every spring. Last spring, this spring, I'm sure we're going to deal with it again next spring as we get through the season and look again at it and see how this works out. Now that we have a state quota, we don't know. It might be come November, we're already closing this down. And just as a comment, staff on daily monitoring of quotas work 7 days a week, sir, just so you know. So we don't take Saturday and Sundays off monitoring quotas. So, but no, let's... That would be one thing. We still don't even know how this is going to play out with the permit system. Now we have a state quota. Before, we were dependent on a regional that hit or miss. It was literally a hit or miss fishery. If they showed up in Virginia and our guys could prosecute it, we could get 3-4 million pounds out of it. Now we're locked into that 2 million point one. 2.1 million. So.
And that was a hard-fought-for quota.
Yes.
Just to correct.
I'm not trying to upset the apple cart.
No.
I'd just like to see. No.
And for what it's worth, you heard the dogfish referred to as the trash of the ocean. Well, I've never seen so many people fight over trash in all my life as they do at ASMFC as far as the allocation of dogfish is concerned.
You haven't worked with anybody in the landfill business.
No, quite honestly not. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the historical context remains very important here because originally when this was a high-volume fishery, there were 30 boats roughly that worked all winter. I mean, these boats went out in a directed fishery from Thanksgiving till Easter, and caught 10,000 a day, 20,000 a day. It was a large scale fishery supporting these day boats that were operating in the coastal water. So it was very important during the 1990s. It expanded quickly, but that's what it evolved into. And so now, if we have potentially 107 active permits with a 3,000 pound trip limit, a 2 million pound quota, they're done in 6 days. So the more permits we have, the more of a derby type fishery we have, you spread the benefits more broadly, but the downside is you end up with a very short-lived derby-type fishery. So there are a lot of trade-offs involved, and the committee's been working through that throughout this discussion. But, Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion.
Please.
Consistent with staff recommendation to adopt the amendments to 4 VAC 20-49010, establishing the commercial quota, additional qualification criteria, quota monitoring requirements, and a management control date.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.